And we've got special guest in the studio, of course, Morris Misalowski. Morris, how are you today?
I'm excellent. When did I become special?
Oh, you just are.
Oh, okay.
You just
thank
got
you.
That look.
Didn't your mother tell you that from day one?
I thought she was the only one, though.
Now, you and Adelaine, would you like both to be judges?
Absolutely.
The word of the day. Now, the word of the day is intexticated.
Intexticated?
Intexticated. Do you know what that means?
No.
It's new. Do you know what it means? No. Adelaine, do you know what it means? Well, you do. You were here yesterday, weren't you? So, okay. Oh, and actually, before we do that, we got an SMS from Charlie in Port Moresby talking about Thierry Henry and said that Thierry Henry only spoke when he knew it wouldn't matter. Of course, talking about Thierry Henry using his hand to help score a goal for France to get them in the World Cup final. It was a cheat. It was illegal. He did it. They're through. And it really doesn't look like there's going to be a rematch. So Ireland, as one of our correspondents said this morning, is in mourning this morning. Now let's have a look at some of the entries that we had for the word of the day. Garth, intexticated, that describes sub-editors who get high on all that proofreading, you know, intexticated.
Yeah.
Very good. Ken said, this is what happens when people with an extremely low tolerance to alcohol read the label on a bottle of beer. They become intexticated. Thanks,
too.
Ken.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's see, Gary. The word intexticated applies to people driving drunk and simultaneously texting. Oh. The phenomena revealed is the slur one would speak with is transposed from the head bone to the hand bone and imparted into the body of the text, so the recipient may appreciate the degree of one's intoxicatedness. Thanks, Gary. Philip. You say the state of euphoria reached by Kate's boyfriend after SMSing her with messages of rapturous love. Intexticating! Intexticating! Alicia, overwhelmed by the atmosphere of a library. Text.
In a library. Okay.
Text. Yeah, got it. Resky, to imprison with words.
Yes.
Intexticate. Okay.
Incarcerate. Yes, thank you very much for that. Isabel was the only one that got that. Incarcerating, intexticating. So, to repeat, imprisoned with words, number one. Number two, overwhelmed by the atmosphere of a library, number two. Number three, state of euphoria reached by Kate's boyfriend, Kate, number three. Number four, applies to people driving drunk and simultaneously texting. That's number four. Number five, people with an extremely low tolerance to alcohol read the label on a bottle of beer, they become intexticated. Number six, describes sub-editors who get high on proofreading. So, choice.
I think it's number three.
What was number three?
Number three Kate. Was Kate's boyfriend, intexticating.
Well, I've got a different pick, so maybe I should just keep quiet, otherwise we're going to have a debate on our hands.
Okay, I'll go with number three too. I like that one. Which was your pick?
Well, I like the one about...
I'm going to be the tiebreaker here,
I like the one about the drunken drivers all trying to text each other, just because there's this image that I've got of a couple of guys in different cars all going... and trying to text each other.
Actually, that's a very good answer, but we're giving it to Philip anyway, because he is the winner, and our special guest is very special. Intexticating means texting while driving. It's a new word. Okay, it's a new word, guys. So that's what it means, huh? Intexticated. So, Philip, you are the winner, and extra kudos going to Gary for the hand bone into the leg bone and things.
That's a lot of thought putting that one together.
Yeah, he certainly did.
But that word made the shortlist for the word of the year.
It did. And weren't there some strange words in there, too? Do you see which one won? Got the number one.
We did.
Which one? Which one?
The unfriend.
Oh, the unfriend. Isn't that good? Dumping people on Facebook.
Isn't that an incredible word to be number one word for the year?
Now, you've got your daughter with you in the studio, haven't you? Yeah, yes. Have you ever unfriended anybody?
No.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
And you've never actually dumped someone off?
No.
Oh, you're nice. I have. I felt so guilty doing it. Have you ever done it, Morris?
Yeah, I have.
But why did you do it?
I have. I made the mistake of allowing many people on in the beginning and realised quite quickly that I didn't want many people to be on. Then what I've done is to segregate the accounts. So I undeleted a whole lot of people or unfriended them.
Mm. And the good thing Facebook is that no one tells you. They don't tell you you've been unfriended.
No, that's true. I actually don't think there's anything wrong in it. I think it's like normal life. If we have a group of friends and we want to communicate with them, we should. And if we have people that we don't want to communicate anymore, then we don't.
You let them go.
We let them go.
Yeah.
There's this notion that it's all about numbers. It's how many people we have. You know, if you have got 100 or 1,000 people on your Facebook or your Twitter, and to me it comes down to quality.
No, with me it comes down to numbers. I've got 300 happy.
Well, you've got more than me. Please be my friend anyway.
I don't know them, but no, I do know them.
Mr. The Future on Twitter if you want to follow me.
Okay, Mr. Future. Is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Are we friends?
No, not
good,
in any
that
sense.
Makes 301.
Not in any sense.
Oh, stop that.
Well, you did say I was special, so that'll do.
Mr. Future, okay, I'm going to ask you, and if you ignore me, I'll be most unhappy.
I shan't.
Okay, good. And that is such good anachronistic English language as well, shan't. Now, the word of the day for Monday is laggard, which is L for Lima, A for Alpha, G for Golf, A for Alpha, R for Romeo, D for Delta. Laggard is the word of the day.
And it's a beautiful word.
It is.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I use it.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Hang on, what does it mean?
I use it
really?
In a technological sense.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay, we're going to cross to Phil Whelan in just a moment. But I'm going to do some weather first. Just the weather for today. What have we got in Phnom Penh? Cloudy and 28. Siem Reap, cloudy, 30. Vientiane, clear, 28. Maldives, Malé, you've got a clear day and 31. Dili, a bit of rain later and 29. Singapore, chance of storms and 30. Denpasar, chance of storms, 31. Jakarta, thunderstorms, 32 degrees. Having a look at Saipan, thundery showers, 31. Apia, you've got a partly cloudy day and 30. Niue, partly cloudy, 28. Rarotonga, mostly fine, 26. Port Vila, mostly fine, 27. Honiara, chance of storms and 30. Tarawa, clear, 31. Nuku'alofa, mostly cloudy, rain later, 27. Lae, we've got some showers and 28 degrees. And Port Moresby, some showers, thunderstorms, 31. And Phil Whelan has been listening. Excuse me, this is Radio Australia sponsored weather.
No, mate, not anymore. Stand and deliver.
Oh, dear. How are you?
Good, I love your weather forecast. And the funky, can you play the funky music again, please?
Play the funky music, right?
Radio Australia, the Bush Channel.
What do you mean the Bush Channel?
Bush.
Oh, the Bush. Bush. I was going to say.
He got it.
I got it.
Hey, Phil, how are you? Morris Misalowski, you know Morris, of course.
Yes, I do.
Adelaine, you know Adelaine, of
G'day.
Course.
G'day.
Yeah. Oh dear. What's been happening in Hong Kong?
Stop making fun of me.
I'm not. I really am not.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Nothing, it's cold. I feel
cold.
Really soft today because I actually had to put a jumper on. Pathetic, isn't it?
Oh.
What's cold?
The weather.
I mean, what temperature?
What temperature?
It sounds ridiculous. I mean, it sounds really ridiculous if I say 14 degrees.
Oh, we go sunbathing in 14 degrees here in
you
Melbourne.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's not snowing, is it?
No. It's nothing like that. It's just, you get a radical change in the temperature here, and our houses are really put together with sticks and string. They're not made for anything less than about 20 Celsius. A bit like Brisbane, really. But,
yes.
So it and everybody brings out the, you know, the Kevlar and stuff, and it's just a bit cold. I feel like a complete.
We have none of those sort of problems here in Australia because you heard we've been in a heat wave, like a real heat wave.
Yeah.
Adelaide, in fact, just north of Adelaide, 45 degrees. You think it gets hot and humid in Hong Kong? 45. How often does it get to 45 degrees in Hong Kong? Never.
I don't know. Is that
no, that's the other one.
Celsius.
That's Celsius.
Blimey.
Yeah,
not very often, no.
No, that's more than 100 degrees in the old one, yeah.
But it's also very dry here. You have to be careful in this studio, well, at the best of times, but, you know, just rubbing your feet along the floor and then getting a Van de Graaff off the door.
And then you sort of get electric shocks every time you touch something metal. Yeah.
Yes, so I'm not coming anywhere near you.
Yeah, fair enough. I knew I'd do that to you. We actually have, we've had bushfires. We had 100 bushfires burning in South Australia yesterday, and luckily it's down to only 3 serious ones today. But we've actually, after the bad bushfires that we had in February, we had a revision of the bushfire warnings. Now, when you were in Australia, you would have heard about low, medium, high, extreme fire dangers.
Hey, when I was in Australia, they just caught Ned Kelly.
Fair enough.
Go on, what?
So, yeah. I can't think of a single response. Can you, Morris? Can you think of Adelaide? Can you think of a single response?
We're moving. We're moving.
They've moved. They've added a new fire warning, which has gone up beyond extreme. What is beyond extreme? Catastrophic. They've got a fire warning in Australia of catastrophic, which is extraordinary. That would probably come after catastrophic. This means that if a fire starts, people are likely to die, and it is unlikely they'll be able to fight it. So, and that was the warning that they had for a lot of South Australia, and a lot of New South Wales is catastrophic. That is how bad. We've got an early fire season, and we've had Kevin Rudd say that a part of the unseasonal heat is because of climate change. Climate change skeptics, of course, and some scientists, weather people, say just a little bit rich to actually attribute it to climate change.
He might have a point, because it's been really weird, even here, very unpredictable.
And the weather patterns we've been getting, you know, all the stuff that Al Gore talked about in the film, you know, was about the typhoons, the storm activity, the waves, the earthquake. You know, it was, you know, he says that it could be. I don't know how earthquakes come into that, but somehow, you know.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so really hot here.
Well, nothing else has really been happening this week. It's been a very slow day.
Has it?
Week, even.
Well, we can tell you that we've had a resolution, haven't we, Adelaide? We've had a resolution to the Oceanic Viking, you know, that ship that had the 78 asylum seekers?
Yes, yes, yes.
They're off. They're now in detention in Indonesia, and now the story has moved on to the fact that now behind bars, they're basically in jail conditions in Indonesia, which is what their biggest fear was.
Yeah, it was going to happen, though, I'm afraid, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was always going to happen. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're probably just going to be stuck in this holding pattern there for ages, and then quietly sent back from whence they came, I should imagine.
Well, no, they're supposed to be, and part of the written agreement that was given, hadn't we spoken to you about how the Australian government made a written agreement with the asylum seekers?
No.
And the asylum seekers had the written agreement, and they threw it overboard to some journalists so the journalists could see what was in it. And it was basically a promise that you could come to Australia and you'd be resettled and you'd have social security and also help in trying to find your family. So, yeah. And the government has said it'll only be a couple of months at the most that these people will be in detention, unless they're found not to be genuine refugees. But that's it. The customs vessel is now on its way back to Australia, and the asylum seekers are in detention.
I've been watching a TV documentary that's probably ages out of date, and I wonder if you knew what happened. A bunch of Aussies who went to disrupt a Japanese whaling ship and they got kidnapped. It's probably really old, this. Does that sort of still hit the news with you guys?
Whaling ships do, absolutely.
Yeah, that might have happened. I'm not sure if that happened. It wasn't too long ago. It's not 100 years ago, that's for sure. It's about maybe one or two years ago, I think,
it was on Discovery Channel.
I thought it was more than that.
You know what I mean? And the Japanese sailors put them on board and tied them up and stuff, and then the Aussies got accused of piracy and da-da-da. I just wondered if this is, if it just made any inroads into this in this issue.
No.
Not really.
Absolutely separate issue completely there, but nice. Nicely said. Have you seen the film 2012?
No, because everybody says it's rubbish.
Well, you know what? We just spoke to one guy who just said it was a great film, but, you know, stupid, but a great film.
Yeah.
Morris Misalowski is actually a futurist, so he can tell us what's going to happen in 2012. Morris, is the world going to end in 2012?
Yes.
And his daughter is... excuse me, how old are you?
That's why he gets the big...
She's 13. Okay,
hello.
He's got a 13-year-old daughter in the studio with him, and he's just saying that the world is going to end in 2012.
December 21st, so... Yeah.
Oh, December 21st. I had the date wrong then.
So, 13, you're not going to see 17.
Calendar? Which calendar are we talking here?
Mayan calendar and a couple of other prophecies.
So that probably could mean next week by our calendar, really. It's completely different, isn't it?
Well, it's supposed to have been translated to our calendar. So what it does translate it. December 21st, 2012 is when we will be swallowed up by something.
It'll be
how many times have you heard that?
Oh, many, many times. Nostradamus said we were going to die in, the last century.
Well, unfortunately,
stage.
Nostradamus tends to get a lot of his stuff right.
or it's interpreted after the fact to be almost right.
Yeah. Well, he's got, you know, it's not bad for predicting hundreds of years in the future. I think you'd give a guy a break.
Yeah, a guy with a beard like that.
I don't even know what I'm doing this evening.
Yeah, he was one heck of a futurist.
It wasn't bad at all. The other big news out of Australia this week was obviously Kevin Rudd's big apology again for the what were they called? Forgotten children?
The forgotten people, the forgotten generation. Yeah, there. That was that actually came out of nowhere. Of course, we know that the stolen generation, the Aboriginal people that he apologised for last time, that was beginning of last year, I think, in the first sitting of Parliament. His first act in Parliament as Prime Minister was to apologise to them, but they had been agitating, the Aboriginal community had been agitating for a decade or more, for an apology. And this time, we didn't know about the agitation for the stolen, and the forgotten Australians are the ones who were taken from their homes when they were young and put into care because they didn't believe that their parents could look after them.
I didn't understand. You know, I turned on the TV the other morning and there was this story, as he was doing it live, in fact. Now, a lot of these people were taken from Britain.
They were.
So now, I don't get the issues here. How come, A, that they were almost, it's like being transported. How come this happened? And then secondly, how come the treatment was so bad? I mean, movie-style bad. I just didn't quite get it. It didn't click with me.
It was a program that they brought into place in England for kids who they thought were underprivileged, to give them an opportunity and also, I suppose, to help populate Australia. And so they brought the kids out. There was a great miniseries about it called The Leaving of Liverpool. Just, dumped them in care. Many of them were abused. In fact, the former head of the ABC, David Hill, was one of those kids. And he and many others were brought out here. And in many cases, they weren't orphans. They just didn't think that their parents could look after them. And that's what happened here. They were put into institutions. There were so many of them. It was a systemic policy. And the institutions just weren't capable of looking after them. And the people who ran these institutions weren't capable of looking after them. And many of them were abused.
But in principle, all well and good, but then you get all these stories of all kinds of abuse. What happened?
Well, if these people weren't capable of looking after them and didn't understand and they had a lot of kids on their hands, then you would imagine just as a percentage there would be a number that were abused or were sent to homes that weren't necessarily great homes. You know, they just needed to farm them out, and they did. And occasionally there was a story that was a bad one. So the apology was for taking them away from their parents. We're not talking orphans here. There might have been five, in those days, there might have been 9 or 10 kids in the family, so they took out number 6, 7, and 8 and destroyed everybody in the process.
A bit of completion there.
Yeah.
There was it was pretty moving. I mean, do you remember George Bush's sort of press conferences when he'd have, a sergeant who'd just been in Iraq and a widowed, all this sort of stuff, and it was definitely theatre, but this was not. You know what I mean? It was the real deal. People were really sort of feeling like a sort of relief or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was great emotion. Great emotion there.
A lot of tears indeed, yeah.
According to Damien, Nostradamus predicted a catastrophic event in New York in 1999 and a war started by, quote, a turban-wearing antichrist from the East. Wasn't too far off, was he?
Well, you know what? It's so easy to interpret a prediction after the fact.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
That stuff has been out there for ages. I remember reading that particular one when I was a kid.
And you thought in 1999 someone wearing a turban would attack New York?
I didn't, but the point was I remember reading it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So a couple of years, give the guy a break.
Hey, do you want to do a bit of tech talk? Let's do some tech talk.
What do you got?
Okay, what do you got?
So Hong Kong and Melbourne share something as of only 3 or 4 hours ago. That is?
An ISDN line.
Okay, that'll do.
At the moment.
But the other answer is that there's this new thing called Foursquare that's been going around. It only started in March of 2009. It's a mobile app. And Foursquare has taken the States by storm. So it's the big thing after Twitter and all the rest of it. It's a game you play. What it does is use geotagging. We talked about geotagging before. Geotagging is where your mobile device tells people where you are. So it recognises where you are, and you then log in to say that you're in that place. You get, if no one else has claimed that place for the day, you become mayor for the day of that place, and you get little badges for going places and doing things. So it's become one of these little sweet games that everyone online is playing.
Like it really tells you where you really are.
Yeah, really, really. So, but what it does is tells you about what cafes are around, what art theatres. So if you load this thing, and it's available for free, it's a free app called Foursquare, it'll go onto iPhone, onto the Androids, onto all the platforms, and just have fun playing this game.
Does that mean it gives you specific challenges? is that you need to solve as a mayor?
Well, as a mayor, you get the right to say what that place is in a virtual sense, and not so much challenges, but it's kind of like it is that game where you're looking for other people around, you can begin to search for them, you know where your friends are, you can make comment about the restaurant or the cafe or whatever. So it's just become a phenomenon. Literally started off in March this year, and already has, I think, somewhere upwards of about 15 million subscribers, and it was only in 14 states in America up until this morning.
So it's now in Melbourne, and it's now in Hong Kong.
And pretty much across the world now. 50. They added 50 new places as of this morning.
So if we went online now,
yep.
Phil could play with Phil.
I won't comment, but should he wish to, yes. But on Foursquare, absolutely.
Are you looking it up, Phil? You've gone very quiet, which usually means you're either doing that, reading the paper, or doodling.
Or glazing over.
I was sending a text to somebody. But I, in fairness, don't exactly glaze over, but I'm just not into all this stuff.
So, Foursquare, the reason I bring it up is, like we've heard about Twitter and Facebook and the rest of them, guarantee Foursquare's the big name for next year.
I was just thinking this whole thing about pinpointing exactly where you are. I mean, law enforcement agencies must be loving this. Then you get arrested for that multi-homicide you committed last week.
But don't you have to be playing this computer game to be actually pinpointed?
You do.
You've robbed a bank. In. Let's go on to Foursquare so the police can get us.
Yeah, you have to opt in. Look, I'm sure somebody will be stupid enough to do that down the track.
I'm sure they will.
But there's a lot of those great apps around, and geotagging, again, is the big thing for next year.
Geotagging. Oh, you just get the impression that they're trying to one-upmanship as soon as, like, Twitter comes along.
Oh,
okay, that's
course.
All right. Now let's get better and make loads of dough.
Yeah, there is. And I downloaded another one last night, which is also brand new, called Car Finder. Again, this one I think is about 99 cents.
Is this to find your own car?
Yeah.
When you park it and forget where it is.
Oh, this is a good one.
So you geotag your car, you get out of the car, in other words, you put the app on, you press the button, say, this is where I am. And when
what's it called?
It's called Car Finder.
Well, this might be good if your car gets pinched.
Yes, actually it would. I hadn't thought of that. You're absolutely
wouldn't,
right.
Because you're tagging where it is.
Oh, no, you're
when,
right.
When you park it.
You're right, no.
You'll be able to find where your car used to be.
There is a tracking device for that, though. You can buy a mobile tracking device you can put in your car. It's about $400 American. I saw it last week that allow you to do that. But that's by the by. But this one allows you to find your car, so when you go back to look for it, you press the button and ask it where the hell it is, and it guides you. So it turns on the screen, so you're looking through the other side, you're actually seeing what's around you, and with a whole series of arrows, it guides you towards your car.
Excellent. Now,
does it work in the basement?
That's one of the
why would you park your car in a basement?
If you're in a car
shopping center.
Oh, I see.
That's the worst place to lose your car.
And that's one of the things it says, actually. It says that it may not work all that well in
those Now, Phil, I've often wondered this.
Yep.
Why don't we have those little dots that you can put on things like your glasses, your phone, your keys, and your home computer can find these things? Like, it's like a tracker or something. Do we have that sort of thing?
Yeah, we do. And with nano technology, you can have more and more of it.
Do you know, that's actually a brilliant idea.
It was one I thought of. I wasn't going to tell the world, but it's already been done anyway. Yeah.
Well, it's been invented. It hasn't really been done in a big way. But
it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, Morris, because if you're in Hong Kong in a taxi and you get out and you discover you've lost your telephone, it miraculously disappears firstly it's switched off within seconds somehow, and then you try and find it and it's gone.
Now the
gone with a taxi driver.
The iPhone.
Well, I don't know gone with whom, but it disappears.
So the iPhone or Apple has an app for that called Mobile Me that will find your iPhone anywhere in the world.
I'll get that one.
It costs.
I think
it's too expensive. It's about $120 a year to subscribe.
You know why? Because it's useful.
Yes.
And what it will do is it will actually disable the phone. So at your end, if your phone's been stolen, you can disable it. You can actually put a screen message on as well, telling people what you think of them for taking your phone.
Or if you've lost it, chances are it's... innocent until proven guilty.
Well, but you can disable it, which is the important thing. And you can also put a message up, if you find this phone, return it too.
So you don't want to put a message to a thief on your phone saying, hey, big nose, I can't use my phone. They're going to throw it in the river. Or they're going to stomp on it.
Or they're going to get it back anyway.
That's probably a point.
But you have to have a phone to send a message to your phone.
Well, you've got to have computer access somewhere. Computer access somewhere.
Well, that's a good idea. I think that's worth having. I don't know why it should cost quite so much, but there you go.
Because it can.
I want these dots. I want these dots on glasses, on keys, and on mobile phones, and on anything.
That's what we need, Morris. Useful stuff. Have you got any up? Others, obviously.
No, that kind of lets me down. Talking of
useless stuff. There's Twitter on TV now.
Oh, whoopee.
Do you tweet? Have you ever tweeted, Phil?
Yeah, now and again. I'm just thinking, if you've ever seen local Hong Kong television, you're going to be gagging to get some Twitter on TV.
Oh, right.
I've never really got into it. I had a go, but I just didn't get it. I really didn't get it. People are following you. Why? And how do they get to follow me? And why could they give a hoot what I write? Anyway, I just don't get it.
Yeah, Twitter's one of those things you have to immerse yourself in.
Oh, humbug.
But for businesses, I'm finding it's working really well. There are a lot of things being sold for businesses on that. We talked a while ago about Dell selling about $3 million a year worth of computers on Twitter by putting distress stock onto it. But there are simple things like the bakers who are having, I think I've given you this before, who have hooked up their ovens to Twitter so that you know when the pastries are ready. There's a guy in San Francisco that's hooked up.
Whatever happened to a stopwatch?
No, but what happens is the message goes out automatically to the people in the office building to say the croissants are ready and they're held, or the custard tarts have just come out. So the people know they're ready and they come down to get them. So he's actually sold a ton load more than he ever did before. So there are all these wonderful applications of people using Twitter now for niceness.
Yeah, but it's getting to that stage, Morris. You know, he's going to be sending out about 15 going, I'm now having my coffee. I finished my coffee. I'm now mixing the dough. That's when it gets daft.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. But I think people are getting better at doing that. It's like anything with new technology. People overuse it and use it for the wrong things. It's kind of had time to settle down now. I think the messages are getting a bit more sane. And we also have a lot more opportunity now to get rid of messages we don't want.
Good.
Talking of that.
Talking of that. See you, Phil.
Oh.
Okay. It's time for us to go.
I didn't mean it that way. See you, Phil. Have a great week.
See you later.
Bye now.
And that's Phil Wheeler from RTHK in Hong Kong. And Morris, thank you very much for coming in the studio.
A pleasure, as always.